everyone. Welcome to our bonus segment dedicated to the Great British Baking Show.
This week we are covering Collection 11, Episode 1, Cake Week.
I want to take a moment and welcome my dear friends, Wendy and Greg, for the first time on our Bake Off edition that we have on Strange Indeed. Welcome, you guys. I'm thrilled you're here.
Thank you. I'm so glad we could pull this all together and do it because I'm super excited about it.
Same for me. I have always enjoyed Bake Off, the Bake Off coverage. And sometimes even in the shows that I was less into, I would still listen for the Bake Off coverage in case you guys had something going on. I've always enjoyed these, and Bake Off's just such, it's like the Ted Lasso of cooking shows, right? You have Hell's Kitchen and you have Bake Off.
Yes.
That's a lovely way to put it. Yeah.
Just good for your soul.
It really is. It's what we should be watching after we watch the other shows that Strange Indeed covers.
I know.
We should have 15 minutes of Bake Off at the end of every one of those.
That's what we always would kind of joke about, some of the really dark shows that we'd watch and that we cover on Strange Indeed. And you're just like, wow, I really need like almost like a palate cleanser, right? To kind of lift you back up from going into dark places, covering some of the things. And there was nothing like Bake Off that really brightened your day, made you just when the music starts, right? Isn't it just a joy? The little jingle in the beginning. That just automatically, even just that always kind of brings you up a little and makes things lighter. So, and I'm thrilled that you guys were into it. Wendy, I know that you were a fan and enjoy baking, you know, in your free time. I've seen some of the beautiful things that you've put together. I've gotten to taste some of the lovely things that you've put together.
Drunken peach cobbler.
You know, it really hit the spot. And Greg, you know, I knew you were a longtime fan as well, but do you enjoy any baking? Are you into the culinary arts?
I will just, the short summation is no.
Okay.
I enjoy expediency. I enjoy delicious food. The process of making it is not something that makes me, like, we'll just say happy. I'm a big manpower to consumption comparison, right? So I don't, for me, I'm not going to spend an hour to make a meal for myself that I'm going to eat for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely let someone else cook for an hour and I will eat it for 15 minutes and then pay them in either compliments or money for the quality food that I'm eating.
I respect that. I respect it.
If like my wife and I, just the other night, we cooked together in the kitchen and it was an experience together. And that was, we were in the kitchen for probably 45 minutes to an hour and trying to coordinate stuff. And it was an enjoyable experience. I do not bake or cook for the joy of baking. I feel like they were, like the contestants in the tent were this week, when they were waiting for the sponges to cool during the technical, and they're just like standing around waiting, just staring outside at the bunnies.
Yeah.
That's me waiting for things to cook. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to be doing something.
I love that. I love that. Well, I don't do as much baking as what I used to because back in the day, more cooking for a family brought me joy, or baking for if it's the holidays, like baking for people. I find joy in that and I love the presentation of it. But, you know, most days it's just myself and my daughter when she's home. And it's like, gosh, thinking about baking like a big dessert, like a cake or something that you would see here on the show, it's just like a lot of effort for, just to like myself. And I don't like cooking for myself, so I don't get to do it as often. But I totally hear you. I'm all about letting someone else do all the work and enjoying the fruits of their labor. For sure.
Yes.
So this brings a new collection of Bake Off this season. What'd you guys think so far of the first episode? Just overall thoughts.
Cake Week's probably my favorite week. It's, I love everything. I love every part of this show, but some of the more like British recipes and the meat pies, I would definitely try anything, but I don't like those things as much as I definitely know I like cake.
Yeah. Yes, no doubt that we're fans of cake around here. Yes.
Yes. So it's always a good week.
Absolutely.
For me, it's my favorite's always biscuit week because I'm a cookie fan.
That's a good one too.
One of my absolute weaknesses is baked goods, and when you know, but it's more specifically cookies. So if they had cookie week, if they're like, oh, we're going to make an American chocolate sausage cookie, I'd be like, I am down with that. Oh, do a signature of cookies. I am good with any kind of amazing cookie you want to make me. Oh, you want to do matcha and yuzu? Fine.
Yeah. I will
try it.
And I like the British, more of the British style cookies. Like I like a crispy cookie. Yeah,
absolutely. What were they? The brandy snaps that they had a couple seasons ago.
I was like, the brandy snaps.
Man, those are so good. So not that I don't like Cake Week. Cake Week is great. I think my lack of familiarity with actually trying, because I see Genoise sponges or Genoese, or I'm not thinking that's what Tasha called it.
Mm-hmm. Genoese, I think.
Is it Genoese or Genoa? I don't know.
I think so.
I'm familiar with those because I've heard of them or I've watched people make them on TV, but I couldn't necessarily tell you, oh, this is what this type of sponge is supposed to taste like or the texture or whatever. Some bakes you can look at it and go, oh no, that is bad. And I think we had at least one of those this week. Cake Week is a solid week. There was one in particular that I'm looking forward to talking about because I would have shoved it completely.
I know I'm really excited to dive into the bakes this week because so many scrumptious looking ones. And I agree. I thought it was a great episode. I'm a big fan of cake, so definitely anxious to talk about the cakes. What did you guys think about the opener? Don't they always have cute little clever openings? What did you think about this week with the bread father?
This one was one of my favorites because most of like many of the other ones are just kind of too over the top, maybe kind of forced.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were playing parts, I thought it was cute, and I think Allison's a good addition to the show. And the tag to the end of the opener where he's like, eating dough balls again, destructive inside my mouth. I was like, that is awesome.
It's so hokey and cheesy in the most wonderful way that the Bake Off is.
Yes, they always put their nice little delightful spin that it just always brings a smile, even when they are a little over the top and you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. But they're still, you know, full of joy. So
and
I thought
Paul
it was
and Prue are so straight. Like, they're so straight that it's just funny. They could do anything, and it's funny.
I agree. I loved the kissing of the bread. Like, instead of, like, kissing the Godfather's ring, kiss the bread. I thought that's perfect. And I agree. I really liked Allison. Let's just talk about her for just a second before we get too deep into the episode. We have a new host this year, Allison Hammond. I'm not familiar with her. I guess she's more of a like a British personality, TV personality, and I'm not as familiar with a lot of British TV. But I thought she was a really great addition. I thought she was fun, bubbly personality, and I thought she was a great compliment to Noel. I really enjoy him as well, and I've said that many times. What did you guys think of Allison?
I was doing a little research on her because I didn't know who she was. And I found it really ironic as I was preparing. I was thinking that one reason this show is such a feel-good show is that it appears that the producers really take great efforts to choose contestants that are really kind and caring and that they're going to gel well with the other contestants and that they're going to form camaraderiness. And I was thinking it's like the opposite of shows like Survivor and Big Brother, where they're really looking for polarizing personalities to have drama and conflict. And then I read up on Allison, who got her start on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And was actually like one of the first people to get booted out of the house. So I thought that was really funny, but I liked her. I thought she has an amazing accent. She was funny. I thought she meshed in pretty well.
I agree. What do you think, Greg?
Absolutely. I it's not that I didn't like Matt Lucas. Matt Lucas, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not that I didn't like him. It's more that everything just seemed like it was a punchline. And these are like conversations that someone, you know, maybe thinks in the middle, you know, it's more like improv where you are, you're not executing written jokes, but you are just tossing them in when you see the opportunity. And it just seemed more natural. It seemed, this just seemed to flow a little bit easier.
I agree. I think she has a really vivacious personality and it really shined so far in the first episode. And I agree. I liked Matt. I thought he did well and I enjoyed some of his lines and stuff. But you're right. When you say that, I'm like, yeah, it seemed like everything always had to be kind of a joke or a punchline or something, where she just seems to have this great, like, she's a people person and she's just having those conversations with the bakers. And I'm like, she's just like diving right in there and just, well, it's just a good conversation.
She's on a morning show, right?
Yeah, she's on, because I also looked it up too. She's a host of the British daytime talk show called This Morning, which is, I think, kind of similar to like Our Good Morning America or something like that.
Yeah, so she's, I think she's used to talking to people and not just trying to think about something funny to say, but like connecting on a, and letting the other person star.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Matt was more like, oh, I'm going to wait for you to say something and then I'll insert joke here, which kind of made him the focus. But here, like when she was, and I mean, this goes into like my favorite stand-up moments, but when she was talking with Tasha and the Paul Pollywood nickname, I was, I mean, like it was like all she was doing was reacting to Tasha and it made it you know, warm, fuzzy feeling. And just like, oh, man, this is great.
Yeah, I thought she was really great. I've enjoyed her so far. And I think she's been a great addition. And I look forward to seeing her in the rest of the season. It just seems really natural. And I think her and Noelle complement each other nicely. All right. So let's get into one of our categories is normally a favorite bake. It can be all three, because there's a signature, a technical, and then the showstopper. It can be whatever that y'all want to talk about. But I liked this. It feels like this season they're going like a little bit back to basics. You know, they get so fancy. It's like you almost have to have like a degree in engineering or something to put some of these things together some seasons. And you're just like, you know, I think they're cool to watch, but I also like to see things that maybe I could do, like, it would be a challenge for me to do, but something I could potentially do. Some of these, sometimes you watch and you're just like, that's awesome. And it probably tastes amazing, but no way could I ever craft something like that if I wanted to, you know? So I love how they're kind of doing like a back to basics. Who wants to start with one of their favorite bakes? And it could be more than one too.
Do you mind if I just go through, because it's the first week, mm-hmm. and we talk about...
You want to go through each one? You
want to go through this? Well, just so our characters. Oh my gosh, our contestants.
They're real people.
They are real people.
Weird. All right. So as I mentioned earlier, Tasha, Dan, Nikki, the lady with the blonde hair, from the Irish. Is she Irish or Scottish?
Scottish.
I think, yeah.
I'm terrible with those accents. I'm not even going to try to
hers
guess.
Hers is lovely, though.
Yeah, it's so
really
lovely,
is.
But yeah, I'm not going there. I'm terrible.
I think it's Scottish.
Abby,
Lucy,
the forger.
If you're listening, tell us.
Maddie, the younger guy with the dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
Dana. We have Amos. Then Josh. Saku, Rowan, Christy, and Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me so long and backing up so many times to figure out everybody's name so that I could like put it down and so that I could actually identify who they were. so that I could actually be like, oh, they made this and this, they made this and they did well here or didn't do as well here or whatever. But these were, I thought this whole collection of people were fantastic.
Yeah.
They were just, oh man, I'm just so happy to be here. And
yeah.
I can't imagine that I'll still be here next week, but we'll see. But I will start then.
Yeah, go for it.
And Dan, who kind of reminded me of Jürgen from three or four seasons ago,
where Jürgen
just
kind
of came in and just like just did amazing for like the first 4 weeks, and then you're like, oh well, he's going to make it to the end, and then I think it was like the second or third from the last week, he ended up losing out because
he
was fantastic,
so talented, yeah.
But Dan's rhubarb custard, rhubarb and custard cake with like the pieces of rhubarb up the side. I don't even know that I necessarily like rhubarb. Like Allison was saying, she doesn't like it, but I'm typically a pretty big fan of custard. So
I would dive into that.
It almost looked like bacon strips up the sides of the cake.
It did. I thought it was very pretty. Very pretty, which for me, that is half the battle for me, like the aesthetic and how it looks. So I thought it was beautiful, but I'm not typically a fan of rhubarb either. So I don't know. I mean, I would try it, but, you know.
What is it they put rhubarb? Isn't like strawberry rhubarb?
Like strawberry rhubarb pie? Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever had it, but I'm going to definitely try it. My daughter-in-law loves strawberry rhubarb.
Yeah, the bitterness of the rhubarb kind of cuts the sweetness of the strawberry, and so sometimes it's good, depending on who
that
makes it
or
how
like
it's made.
That sounds like something I would like, yeah.
I mean, it can be good. I've had some. I did not care for it when it was, like, you know, out of, like, the Denny's or House of Pies or whatever when I was growing up.
You probably need a good quality.
Yeah. I would recommend either a homemade from someone who knows what they're doing or one of those fancy places that actually, like, goes out and makes it.
I loved that he brought the rhubarb from his garden at home. I thought that was really sweet.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that because wasn't Abby who foraged for her own ingredients? She had the wild poppy. I was like, I didn't even know you could just find and forage wild poppy seed.
That's pretty cool. And
she had foraged her ingredients for her cake. I thought that was really interesting. And I love that. I love, you know, the natural element to
that. Hello, Mr. Slug. We'll give that a wash before we cook it.
I love that. So were those some of your favorite bakes for the signature, Greg, from some of those contestants?
For the signature, that was the one that made me go, the Abby's, the poppy seed, lemon, and black currant also made me interested. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of them that I thought looked fantastic. But I'm not a heavy chocolate person. So like the technical, I was kind of like, okay, great. I mean, you guys can do this, but, I'm more of coffee-ish.
Who let Greg in on this show?
Differing opinions, right? That's what makes things better.
Oh gosh.
Speaking of chocolate, I will.
Oh, the
talk
tiramisu.
About...
Sorry, the tiramisu was the other one that I was like, yeah, face first into that thing. Even though it didn't look great, tiramisu with the mascarpone, coffee mascarpone. Oh yeah. My gosh!
So speaking of chocolate, Keith made his orange and chocolate cake, and when Paul tried it, you could just see on his face he couldn't contain himself, and he was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
Like it looked like it was really tasty. I would go in for that.
And I'm not normally a chocolate and orange. We see that a lot in Bake Off, in some desserts. They're always mixing chocolate and orange. And I understand
good,
that's
yeah.
pretty popular for probably a lot of people. I'm not usually a fan of the chocolate and orange together, but I'm like, I would definitely try it because just the reaction from Paul and Prue, because it's got to take a lot to like get a reaction like that out of them. So, you know, it had to be amazing. So I would definitely try it.
I liked Saku's blueberry cake that looked like it tasted really good too, and it had really pretty vibrant flowers on it. I thought that was pretty.
It was
really
beautiful. Good, yeah.
She seems really artistic.
Yeah.
How about you, Rima?
Any others? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to step on you there. So, you know, for the signature, which I thought was beautiful, I don't know that I've ever seen when they said vertically layered cake. I was like, what? And I didn't even think of like a Swiss roll, right? Like a Swiss roll turned on its side or whatever.
Right. That's what we have. We have the rolls, which I have made before, and they are an absolute pain in the ass. And I discovered the Amish market up the road does them much better than me, and I have never made one since.
I want to try one. I thought it was beautiful because I was like, until you cut in it, you don't know. It just looks like a layered cake, right? And I've made those. I've made like the regular like, you know, flat cakes, you know, and layers and stuff. I've done things like that. But I was like, oh, that looks beautiful, especially when you cut into it and stuff. And it's just a nice surprise. Like if you didn't already know that's what it was and you cut into it, it was just beautiful. So I kind of want to try one if I can, you know, just what the hell. And if it falls apart, I'm not in competition here or anything. But it's beautiful.
Especially the one did a really tall cake. And I was like,
yeah,
how did he do that? Did he do two on top of each other or a really wide cake? I don't know, but
I don't know. It was amazing. Yeah. I don't know how you get it to stay up. I'm sure mine's going to be a little, if it's actually stands up, it's going to be probably a little bit lopsided or something, but I thought it was really beautiful. I don't know that I've seen them do one on Bake Off before, so it was really great to see. And it's not, even though it's not something you might make all the time at home, it's not really like completely like unmanageable or whatever. Like you don't have to have an engineering degree or something to like put it together. Gosh, the ones that stood out for me, there were a lot. The flavors that really I could, as Greg put it, really just dive into face first, for sure. Rowan's, I didn't get to taste them, and you hear the judges, so you're like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't awesome, but I'm like, it's probably better than anything I could have put together. His was a chocolate and raspberry.
His was the really tall one.
Oof. That was a really tall one.
It was
right?
beautiful.
Yeah. It was beautiful. And I'm all about chocolate and raspberry. Those are definitely flavors that I love together. I thought Nikki's sounded really interesting. The blood orange and lemon flavors, I would be all over that. The Christie's, she had the lemon meringue. And I was surprised because she had like the three different like lemon zest, lemon, was it curd? She had like three different elements of like lemon. And then Paul was like, you're about 60% there. He was wanting to like be punched in the face with the citrus, he said. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know. That seemed like she put a lot in there. But I love lemon, so I would have been all over that one. Saku's lemon and blueberry sounded amazing. Definitely would have tried Abby's with a poppy seed, lemon, black currant. Dana had a salted caramel coffee cake. That sounded yummy.
That was the other one that I was like, I would have liked to try that one. But then the reception from the judges was kind of like,
yeah, yeah. But I would definitely be interested. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So all of those sounded really awesome. And, you know, I agree. I think all of them, they're a great group of bakers. I always love seeing all the bakers. They always... I'm like, how do they always manage to get so many nice people? Like, you know, we're happy to be here, and everyone meshes really well together. And I really just love Saku. She was so sweet. She got a hug from Paul. Wasn't that a great moment?
That was so nice of him.
I'm like, Paul can seem like such a bear sometimes. And then you just, he has moments like that where you're like, dude does have a heart sometimes. He can come across a little, you know, harsh sometimes. And you're just like, gosh, Paul, don't give him such a hard time, right? And then he goes and does something like that. So, yeah, signature was great.
Where can you go from a hug? Home.
I know.
I'm good. I was like, maybe not exactly what maybe you're thinking, but.
Right. Well, let's talk technical. So, I mean, they all have to make the same. They don't really get variety here. But what did you guys think of the technical challenge, making the classic bake-off chocolate fudgy cake with the raspberries?
So, I was excited to see it because you see that every week and it always looks good. And like you, Rima, I love chocolate and raspberry together. So
I didn't know that was like an iconic British cake. Like, I didn't know that that was like a well-known thing. It seemed like it. I mean, maybe it's just iconic because that was it's on this show.
Right.
It has been for the past, you know, 11 series. But it seemed to me the way they were talking about it, it was like, oh no, this is like this is almost like a beef Wellington, or it's a. It mm-hmm. seemed like it was very, very well known and iconic for the country, not mm-hmm. just from the show.
And I think I could be wrong, but I think this is Paul's cake, right? This is Paul's recipe. If you go on the website for the Great British Bake Off,
I haven't been. Is
they have it labeled as Paul's chocolate raspberry cake, and they have the recipe there, which I really would love to try to make it. You know, I'd have to convert it to the non-metric system.
I was going
to
say, got to convert it, yep.
But I think it's Paul's recipe, so maybe that's why it's iconic. I don't know.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was just like a, not a delicacy, but just like a staple in bakeries across, maybe because of the series it is.
Yeah, maybe because of the series.
Always blow my mind because without measurements, I just feel like I would be no good.
One of the contestants was like putting 450 grams of peanut butter in. I'm like, I still don't know how much that is. I understand it's almost, you know, it's almost half a kilo, but I don't necessarily know what a kilogram is going to like, how much that is.
Well, it's not even a thing here, and I am sure it is for real bakers, but like, it's not even a thing here to weigh our ingredients. Like, I have almost never done that. I want to start doing it. I know my daughter got into baking, what do you call it? Like, soda bread?
Soda bread, yeah. Irish soda bread.
And so, like, she had to weigh that, and you have to make, like, a starter kit and all this stuff. So I know it is a thing, but I feel like most of my life, I've never seen anybody weigh ingredients.
It's new for me. It's mm-hmm. normally like you measure the cup or in the, right. you know, measuring the ingredients that way. But as mm-hmm. I've learned within like the last year or two, I am on TikTok way too much, and I get a lot of recipes there, and they always like measure like, oh, a gram of this mm-hmm. or the, and I'm like, how do you even do that? And it's so I bought a little food scale.
Right.
So now I'm like, now I can be like on Bake Off and I can measure my ingredients like they do, use my little scale. And I even have do y'all know I've got like one of the mixing bowls. I didn't even pay attention if they have them in the season, but the mixing bowls that they always have on Bake Off, I have one. So I love to bring that baby out whenever I'm going to do some serious baking so I can feel like I'm on this show. I want my food scale so I can measure everything out.
That is good.
And, I'm going to make the cake. I'm going to do the chocolate cake. I'm going to make one of the vertical cakes.
I'm going to try too. I don't know when.
Yeah.
I want to say by next week, but I don't want to commit to it.
I think, yeah, Wendy, let's do that. We'll take pictures and we'll celebrate. I don't know who the heck's going to eat this cake because it's going to be more
than your daughter.
The last thing we need in this house is a big old cake. That's why I don't make these things. But I really just want to. It's just that's what I love about it. It inspires me to do a little bit more mm-hmm. baking. But I thought it looked super yummy. Did you like it better with or without the missing raspberry, though? What'd you think?
I didn't even notice that there was a missing raspberry ever
on the original.
Before on the, I mean, like I thought it was just that was just like. You know, there was just a little bit more room on that little edge of the. I mean, I get that most baking is absolutely intentional, but I didn't even recognize it, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, I love that they called it out. Yeah, I would eat any one of those for sure in the technical. Mm-hmm. I thought they all seemed like they all did a pretty good job. Even the ones that weren't like, you know, came in like last and stuff still weren't that bad because they get so into the final presentation and such, mm-hmm. you know, that if you're off a little bit, that definitely, you know, like docks some points and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com. And get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, well, let's talk Showstopper. What did you guys think of the Showstopper? They had to bake a cake shaped like an animal. A lot of folks chose to like make their dog or a pet or something. Some did things a little differently. Do you have any favorites? Anything stand out?
Go ahead, Wendy.
I thought some of them were real works of art. Like, it was amazing. Even some of them that probably didn't taste as well as the the judges hoped, like, were just incredibly beautiful. Saku's turtle really stood out.
Beautiful.
That was just amazing. And I know they weren't as happy with the taste of it, but wow. Like,
yeah, it looked like a work of
art. Yeah. How about you, Greg?
This is the one that I would just eat all day, every day. I'd probably be really, really sick. But the Abby's sheep with the praline and the salted caramel buttercream, the jam. I think it was like praline jam, or no, it was
rhubarb.
Some sort of jam. Rhubarb, was it rhubarb?
I thought it was rhubarb jam.
I don't remember. But I wrote out jam, and then the hazelnut brittle, and I was just like, this sounds amazing. This, I got all of those things, and then for me in particular, and then when Prue talked about it being crunchy with the brittle, like, I'm a big texture person, and like, I can't, like, I cannot stand pudding, like pudding, flan, all those things with very homogeneous like kind of gooey textures. I don't care for them. But you give me some vanilla pudding and some Nilla wafers that I can crush up in there and turn it into a textured thing. I really enjoy it. So the concept of putting a crunch factor into that cake, and then all of the buttercream, and I mean, I love buttercream anyway, but that one in particular was the one that I was like, yes, please. And the fact that it was like everybody, they loved it, made it like, okay, well, that's definitely the one that I want.
Yeah. You could tell that was good.
And then my other standout was Tasha's Robin. Like, that looked stunning.
Beautiful.
And then I was glad that I thought it looked great. And when she ran out of red, I was like, oh no. And then it was like she presented it, I was like, looks fine to me. Like, it's, I can't.
I know.
Oh, you ran out of red, huh? All right, sure, I guess.
Looks like that's how it was supposed to be, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I was really happy for her that it turned out well, especially how rough her signature and
title were. I was happy that she still hung in there, that might have helped keep her from, you know, having to leave, because she's really great.
I thought Josh's Highland cow was so adorable and very precise. I'm looking at it right now. It's so adorable. I love it. With the on the bed of grass and really, again, very artistic. I just, very creative.
I did think that Christie's mallard was one that just like blew me away visually, and then it turned out to be really good too.
It was awesome. A beautiful duck, and I loved when I saw her making her sponge and saw her putting the fruit in there and mixing it all up, and I'm just like, I don't even know what this end result's going to be, but I know I want to taste some of that looks amazing. And again, sparking like inspiration for me, like, I want to do something like that. I'm not going to make a duck, I'm not going to achieve that, but just make a cake. It just looked lovely and so tasty. It was beautiful.
I will say that that everybody, their what is it when you have little frosting and you squirt it? Piping.
Oh, yes.
They're piping. Mm-hmm. Yep. Their piping skills are all phenomenal. Like, even with the dogs that looked messy, but they were dogs. Like, it's going to look messy. But I thought, like, everybody, I mean, and I guess that's a baker's staple, right? That's something you have to know how to do. But I thought that I was pretty impressed with everybody's.
I agree. It was, y'all called out a lot of my favorites. I thought Chrissy's duck, absolutely beautiful, and also looked very, very tasty with her flavors. Mm-hmm. And I know that they really loved that one. Saku's turtle, again, oh, just beautiful. She is quite an artist. It's unfortunate, though, she did what Paul always will say, sometimes style over substance. Mm-hmm. So hopefully she can balance, you know, that out maybe next time. And I hope she does, because I enjoy her. And I love seeing the progression of when bakers maybe get a critique like that. And then you see how much they kind of take it in, and then they grow, you know, each week. They take in that feedback, and they can, you know, improve. And you get to see that over the weeks. I love seeing that. So hopefully she'll stick around for a while and kind of take that in. I thought Abby Sheep was so freaking cute. I was amazed at how light, like, it, I was like, it looks like a little stuffed sheep. It was really, really cute. And yeah, I was impressed with her flavors and textures too. I love a nice little surprise when you bite into something and you get like all of these wonderful mix of flavors. And also there's a little bit of a crunch there too. I would have really loved to have tried that. And yeah, Tasha's Robin stood out to me too. That was gorgeous.
To drool here.
I know. I'm telling you, it's always dangerous when we're recording on Bake Off and you're hungry, because it's not, you're immediately running to the kitchen after that. but I thought they were amazing, and it was just, you know, lovely. I'm always so impressed, like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to make a dog cake, right? And then you're just looking at these darn sponges out of the oven, and you can just start piling them all up, and they just start, you can see them, like, cutting and doing these things, and I'm like, maybe it's just because it's just not in me, and they're bakers, they're artists, but I'm just like, how you can just, like, get a dog out of a pile of cake is just, like, absolutely amazing what these folks are able to do.
I agree.
It really is.
Even Amos's, he was having so much problem with his showstopper.
His whale. Yeah.
But in the end, I thought it looked pretty good for the disaster that it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah.
I think he really saved it.
I feel like, and this, perhaps this is, I feel like fondant is a lot of the times what you use to hide your mistakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you could have I think you're right. I think it looked really good, and you could tell, like, you know, Paul said, you could tell what it was. Now, I was a little bit more impressed look wise at the Boozy Beaver. like it looked like it would walk out of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah. And it was cute.
It was really cute.
It really was.
I think it looked so good that that's what saved her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like I feel like if Amos had been able to give more detail in the fondant and added more, you know, phenomenal, but even as bad as his cake was, he might have, like, if he'd given something visually similar to the beaver, to Nikki, then I think it would have been a little bit closer. I, like, just after that, even though he plays second in the technical, it, like, with between the signature not going great and the signature, I'm sorry, and the showstopper just falling very, very flat.
And it didn't taste good.
Yeah.
It was overbaked.
You saw how dense it was.
Yeah. Like, so I think that crazy. Was the death knell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because usually if you don't do very well with your presentation, or it's a little messy, sometimes, at least if it tastes really good and all the flavors work, that helps save you a little bit. But if your presentation's not great, or if it's messy and the showstopper, that's where you really have to, like, level up, right? I mean, that's one that normally you get the 4 hours or more for most of the bakes, most times, depending on what it is. And I mean, that's the one that's supposed to be really pristine, and the detail matters. So if you slip on that, then you really better come through with your tastes and textures. And so, yeah, it was unfortunate. he just struck out, wasn't his day. And it's interesting because you'll see folks do really, really well. Like they might have a stellar episode 1 week, but then they get to like another week where it's maybe bread week or something else. And that's like, oh gosh, I'm not so great with bread. You know, you'll hear him sometimes, some of the contestants each week, like, oh gosh, I don't know, I really struggle on this one. And you'll see where they don't, you know, they're not always, it just depends on what the challenge is that week. So just unfortunate, his cake didn't make the cut.
It was, I mean, and I feel like he could have done well if he was absolutely a victim of time.
Yeah.
I think that the pressure got to him and his timing was too full to begin with. And then once you add in the issues he had, I would like to try a dense sponge that, you know, is a little bit more, not quite as light and fluffy. Yeah, maybe you need to have a smaller piece or something like that.
Yeah.
The concept is really, really cool. I mean, it's kind of like cornbread. Cornbread, you can get some dense, good, delicious cornbread, but, you know, it just seemed like the time is what struck him out.
Yeah. And that happens all too often. Sometimes our contestants just, they get nervous or anxious, and then the time does. And sometimes the weather, goodness, does not always cooperate. I remember some seasons it would just be so darn hot and just everyone's just, things are just falling apart. Ice cream's melting, you know.
I was wondering about that because they were all wearing sweaters. So I guess this was filmed beforehand because usually it is filmed in the summer. But yeah. They looked like they, I can't imagine wearing sweaters while baking unless it's quite chilly outside.
Well, exactly.
In Britain, like this summer has been unseasonably hot. So I can't imagine this wasn't filmed like last spring or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. I'm not entirely sure when they filmed. I didn't, the season honestly kind of snuck up on me, as far as it being, you know, ready. I was like, oh gosh. I mean, I think it's around the same time as when it came out last year. Just was not on my radar. I've kind of just been in my own little bubble recently.
Yeah.
It just totally snuck up on me, but I'll have to check that out and see like what, when it was and see, if we can expect like some really hot weather that might affect them. The rain really affects them for certain bakes or certain ones they have to do. The weather certainly plays a part. Well, and then this week's star baker was Dan. What did y'all think of that? I thought it was pretty well deserved. Didn't he mention he has the engineering background? Like he seems like he's one of those to watch for because they're very, I feel like every time we've had someone with like an engineering background on the show, they are very pristine with their details and very precise. What do y'all think?
Yeah, he also uses very intense flavors, and I think people really like that.
Yeah,
he was not afraid to punch Paul in the face.
I was gonna say Paul was looking for a punch. He mentioned it like three times. He was looking for a punch.
Yeah, I think that was one of his strong points, was that he did like not the subtle flavors. And I think that in future where we may see that he has more of a weakness is that he overpowers you with certain things. And if he ends up being forced into trying to figure things out, he may, like, again, we've seen him for an hour. I think we'll know him a little bit better once he has a not great week. I think that was well deserved. And like I said, as he reminded me of Jürgen, who almost just stomped the competition for the first like 3 weeks. It was basically, it was him against the field for Starbreaker, for that first few weeks. I feel like we might see something similar this time.
I agree.
I thought Abby was really good. I think she was giving him a run for the money, and she seemed maybe a little more tentative than him, but I think overall she's got a lot of skills and I think she'd be somebody to watch.
I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think that when she embraces the "I'm going to go for it," it seems like she has really good instincts and understands her own limitations and is willing to try to push past them.
I agree. I think Abby's definitely one to watch for too. I think she is very creative and is going to get creative with her flavors and textures and things that she puts together. So I think she's definitely one to watch for too. But I think they all have some really great potential. But I will say, though, someone I am concerned about, and that's Maddie. And that's strictly because, you know, and look, this is like my very outside judgment, because I'm not saying I could do any better. Obviously, these folks are on a you have to be at a certain level to be a contestant on this show. But I was concerned about him not being able to make a buttercream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, look, I'm not saying I can make a bomb buttercream or anything like that, but I feel like it's supposed to be a fairly basic icing or frosting. And when he struggled twice with his buttercream, so I was
Didn't he have an issue with it on the Showstopper as well? I thought he had three buttercream efforts that did not end well.
Yes, I believe for the vertical cake, the signature, he tried to do it twice. The first round, it didn't do well. And he tried to hurry up and make a second one, and it still didn't turn out well. And then he tried it for another, I think, for the Showstopper, and it didn't work for him.
That's absolutely something. I feel like you're right. I think that's like a staple of icing. And if you are not able to execute that with not even perfection, just with competently, when you hear, I can't give this to the judges. Like, that's not good.
Yeah. And I don't mean to sound like a snob, because I'm like, I don't know. I feel like if I tried to go in there and make a buttercream, but I'm also, I was going to say, I'm not on a baking show, though, either. I'm not competing. So I understand my skills, but I'm just like, I don't know. It feels like fairly fundamental if you know, for baking skills, that it should be something that you should be able to do. So I'm a little concerned that if he hasn't at least mastered, or amateur level mastered a foundational element to baking, then I'm a little concerned, like what might come up next week or the following week, you know, if he doesn't have that. I think he's adorable, though. I mean, I don't want him to go anywhere, but I was concerned. I was like, oh, dude, you gotta be able to make a buttercream, because that's probably going to come up again, right? Or maybe he's going to.
Imagine it wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all these weeks
of
baking.
It also seemed like he wasn't as adventurous in his flavor profiles. Like, he was kind of looking around at everybody else like, wow, they're really bringing it. And he was doing much more classic flavors.
Yeah. And if you're going to stick to classic, they have to be pristine, because one thing that Paul and Prue will always tell you is they're always looking for something they haven't seen before, or maybe tasted before. So you have to either be pretty adventurous and kind of nail it, or else if you're going to stick to classics, you got to really, really nail it and get it right to at least impress them and to stay at least in competition. And I say all this, and I'm sure everything he made was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I would have certainly
I was going to say no judgment on that, but I worry. I'm like, oh, dude, you gotta pull it together. You better get there and practice your buttercreams this week, you know, while you're before you.
And he could be the most phenomenal bread maker ever, and we're going to see him shine in something else.
Absolutely. Maybe cake just isn't his you know, expertise, and that's totally fine. There's a lot of baking to be done.
Yeah, tiramisu is something that I will order if I haven't had it somewhere before. I will order it basically every time I walk in to a new place, and if they have it on the menu, I will try it, because it's like my you know, chicken parmesan or veal parmesan. They're like, if it's a relatively basic, it's not crazy, but like, people have their different takes on it, and like, some have it actually have rum in it, some have put coffee liqueur in it, some people do the mascarpone. So I love seeing all of the different styles that you can make effectively the same basic recipe out of. But my reaction to, like, I just put a, like, I don't know what was going on with this tiramisu. Like, it looked fine. I don't know how well it actually turned out. It seemed like, I didn't even really get much of a reaction from the judges. I didn't hear like, oh no, that's not great. Or I feel like right now he's kind of middle of the pack, or at least that's the way he's showing.
Yeah.
I was afraid for him during the signature and the buttercream debacles, but then he kind of like, I will say, just like with his coffee mascarpone, he masked the rest of his mistakes enough and then did it. I mean, he's like, oh yeah, I just didn't bring enough black. I didn't have enough black
his coloring to, yeah. And he had like a gray dog.
I mean, which no one cares if it's, yeah. No one knows if you don't have a picture. But,
exactly.
He was funny. I do have, he was cute.
Yeah.
I do have a couple.
I think they said that I'm not sure if that looks right. And he's like, it doesn't.
I do enjoy the back and forth between the contestants and the judges.
Yeah.
Just a couple of moments that so after watching Ted Lasso several times, now I hear them say it's 3:30. And I was like, oh, that's what that means. It's 3:30. Okay, got it.
Yeah, all of our Ted Lasso experience has gotten us a little bit more up on our Britishisms, yeah. I think. Yeah.
You've been up since 4 this morning, huh? 3:30.
You know what else they say that I have never heard until I heard Lucy saying it is she calls the decade from 2000 to 2010 the
aughts?
The noughties.
Oh, okay.
So I've not heard that. And I was like, at first I couldn't figure out what she was talking about. And I looked it up and it's like the noughties. I guess it's like the zero, like the nothing, like the naughty, you know? And I was like, what are we talking about? So that's a British thing.
Yeah. N-O-U-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. And not.
Like,
yeah.
Like 90s, but right. The noughties.
Right. Yep. So strange.
Oh gosh. I haven't heard that. I just would have chalked it up to being an age thing. Like
I only got it from
so
Lucy.
Much older than.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a young person phrase.
I thought that the beaver jokes were hysterical.
Oh my God.
And the
oh
fact
my goodness.
That like can you tell us about your beaver? And like everybody's
Paul's
just
reaction.
Dying.
I don't know if they had away.
To I was gonna say, I don't know if they had to cut film that a couple of times because there were just guffaws or something. But,
and again, it's just coming from somebody so straight, you know?
Right.
Prue's pretty straight normally.
Yeah, and then Moorish. I didn't know what Moorish meant, and I feel like Moorish was positive based on the way they did. Oh, that's quite Moorish, and I need to Google it.
I don't know what that means.
But speaking of Googling, I did look up when the show was filmed, and it's between April and June. So
okay.
The first few weeks, I could see being pretty chilly there.
Yeah.
Moorish.
Maybe that's good, better than, because I felt like they were always filming it in the heat of the
always so
high
hot.
Summer, and I never figured out why would you do that?
You're outside, yeah.
Yeah.
Moorish means having a very pleasant taste and meaning you want to eat more. Or makes you want to eat more.
That's fine.
So that makes sense.
Start
Moorish.
Talking like that now. That's very
well, it's
Moorish.
Quite Moorish, isn't it?
Yeah.
As in, I want more, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe that's what all the seasons I've either watched and then the last few collections that we've covered, I don't know if I've heard that. And if I have, it must have went right past me or something. So, I didn't know what that meant either. I learned so much watching. Those were some great standout moments. Did you have any others, Greg, standout moments from the show?
No, I don't. I mean, not that I can think of right now or didn't take notes on.
What about you, Wendy? Did you have any particular standout moments?
I loved Prue's beaver joke. I thought that was hilarious. I did think, like, Keith seemed like he has really good skills, but I'm a little worried about him because he definitely doesn't seem like he has the artistic skills that the others do. So they might beat him in the decorations. But I definitely could see he had some really good baking skills and flavor skills.
Yep.
And then I thought Tasha and Saku could be like, they had mixed beginnings, but I think they could definitely be people to watch.
I agree. I loved Tasha's impression of Paul when she did like the little like intense stare that he does. I was like, oh, she nailed that. I thought she was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Saku was just adorable too. I thought her vulnerability, like saying how nervous she was. And then of course, Paul giving her the hug, you know, we talked about that, but I loved that, from him. Obviously the beaver jokes. I thought, did someone pull her aside and go, look, we'll give you a little extra if you make a beaver, like everybody's making dogs and stuff. We want some jokes. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I don't really care.
She made it, and they just had to go for it after she made it.
Maybe, but I'm just like, I don't know if you know
why you would select a beaver.
Yeah,
I don't even know what a beaver looks like.
Yeah, I'm like, what? It's fine. I loved it, whether it was intentional or not. I thought it was still really funny. I loved the reactions and. I thought that they, you know, handled it really well. And it's just always fun. Because Bake Off always loves to get a little spicy. You know, it's not the first time, you know, or first episode we've ever seen them get a little spicy. And it's always fun when they go there. And then Allison, of course, when they were talking, when they were having like the little conversation about, you know, who might have to go home, who's going to stay and things like that. And she's like, oh, yeah, I just no, don't like a dry beaver. You know, I thought that was natural. You know, she's not, because I know she's not a comedian. You know, it's like we were saying, Greg, you know, she's not trying to throw in jokes or make everything a punchline. It just was like a very natural kind of like reaction to the conversation as they were talking about that showstopper. So those were some standout moments for me, but I'm excited. I love this show. I'm so excited for the rest of the season. It just always brings me joy. If I'm having a rough day, rough week or something like that, and then I watch Bake Off, it just makes me instantly happy and smile and think that everything's going to be fine as long as we have baked goods. So
if you had to pick one baker right now, that's going to take the whole thing. What would be your pick?
I'm going to defer to Greg because I am terrible at predictions. I think I've always been wrong. And it feels almost too early. But I'm going to look over the list here. Greg, so my
too early prediction, I would want to say Dan, but with the lesson of Jürgen. Right. I'm thinking either Keith or Abby. I think either one of them were kind of like the second and third runners up. And I feel like they are the ones that, as you said, Wendy, like Keith, I think he's got the skills and it's going to be a matter of can he execute the artisticness?
Right.
Can he make it look good? Mm-hmm. And if he can work on that and improve that, I think he's got a great chance. And I think that Abby's artistic aspects and her original flavors are really, I would say Abby or Keith.
Yeah, I think those are good picks. I think Dan's a good pick too. I'm going to go with Tasha just because I can see somebody kind of coming out from the middle and heading the pack. So I'm going to go with Tasha as a first choice.
Nice.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Just again, you never know because it could be one bad week. Like, how many times have we seen someone perform either very well, maybe even win Star Baker, or they're always just right there up at the top? But then, man, they just get one bad week with something maybe they're not very good at, or maybe they just have a bad week. Sometimes your stuff just freaking falls apart and does not work like it did when you did it at home or
sometimes
when you practiced
it. Sometimes the bread just doesn't rise.
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't prove long enough, or something's not right, or yeah, the temperature's messing with you. You know, so many, and that's all it takes is one bad week. Like it can be stellar. Like it doesn't, that's the thing. It's like, well, there's no point system that, well, you got Star Baker 2 out of 3 weeks or something, and then you have one bad week. It literally, you have to be on your game every single week. So it's definitely possible to rise. We've seen a couple of people come kind of like middle of the road there, rise and really come out on top. I think Tasha.
First, you have to prove.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good joke.
Yeah, really good.
Baking
I love
jokes.
It. I think Tasha's got a lot of potential. I think she could definitely come out on top. But I also do think Abby is one to watch for. And then Dan, you know, kind of, as you referenced, Greg, you know, Jürgen, who that's who he reminds me a lot of. And so I think they have potential. I can't pick just one because I feel like it could just, it's so early and we've only got one episode, but they were my standouts for sure. Any other notes that y'all want to cover?
I think we covered everything.
I loved it.
I think so. Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm excited. Well, I'm excited that you guys have agreed to join. I appreciate y'all's enthusiasm, you know, to include me. I'm hoping, you know, Paik will hopefully be able to join too. I know he always loved, he's such a foodie. He's one of our resident foodies in the group. But I hopefully the scheduling will work out because I know he enjoys talking about it. But I'm so happy you guys wanted to join in on the Bake Off Fun. We'll continue to cover it each week. We'll see what happens though in a couple of weeks when we're all together. We might have a bit of a break there, just to let everyone know in advance.
Oh, I was thinking we could do it all in the same room, but that's a good point. We should have a break. We should definitely have a break.
Well, if we can make it work, if y'all want to bring your stuff, we could certainly try. For those that are listening, we are all going to have a big group meetup, and we're all going to be in the same place at the same time. I don't know if we'll get a chance to record together. I'm not saying we can't, but we definitely have to bring our stuff, and we'll see if we can make it work. I'm not opposed to it. But either way, we do plan on covering all the episodes, and we hope everyone will join us because next week we are going to cover episode 2 from Collection 11, which, Greg, sounds like it's going to be your week. It's Biscuit Week.
Love it.
Biscuit Week, love a good cookie, as we call them here. Well, if you want to keep following Strange Indeed, we've been on a little bit of a hiatus. We are covering Bake Off because we just love it. And, you know, it's something fun for us to do. But we are going to be covering Fall of the House of Usher, which comes from the Flaniverse, or Mike Flanagan, as some folks like to say. But we consider it the Flaniverse around here. That's going to be out on Netflix October the 12th. So I hope you guys will join us for that, you, Greg and Wendy. But hopefully all of our listeners will join us for that. I'm super excited for something new. It wouldn't be spooky season without something from Mike Flanagan to cover. Yep. And I'm stoked. So hopefully everyone will join in for that. So join us for that. That's coming up soon. Wendy, is there anything that you want to promote or talk about that you have coming up?
I've been guesting on The White Lotus a couple times, and that's been really great. I'm watching it for the first time with the podcast, so I'm only up to episode 3 of season 2. Really loving it. It's really a great combination with Randy and Jenny and Jason. Really having fun with that. So,
yeah, that's a great show. So, yeah, for anyone who's maybe not keeping up, as Wendy mentioned, Jason, Jenny, and Randy have decided to do like a rewatch covering White Lotus season 1 and 2 that aired earlier this year in preparation for whenever we get season 3. I don't know when that'll happen, but it's a fantastic show. Highly encourage everyone to take out of it or check it out. And I'm excited you've been jumping on there, Wendy.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Awesome. What about you, Greg? I know you've got a few things going on.
We're wrapping up on Wheel of Time. I was actually complaining on the podcast the other day that because they drop episodes, the first 3 episodes of a season all in one day.
Yeah.
One, I have to cram 3 weeks of podcasting into as quickly as I possibly can.
Yeah, and that's hard.
And two, like that means it's only on for 6 weeks, and then I have to wait 2 years for the next series. So.
Is it only 8 episodes?
It's 8 episodes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Wow. You guys are already at the finale. Wow.
Yeah. We are recording actually tonight for episode 7, and then next week's the finale, and then it'll be however long it takes for them to film and release. And
yeah,
I'm glad that they are taking the care with the show that they are, but I just wish it would come a little bit faster.
Yeah, and I was a little disappointed in the end of season 1, and I think season 2, I mean, a lot of people are saying it's better than season 1. I think, and I'm not completely caught up, but I think so far it looks really good. And I think it's really, it's so ambitious. It's really hard to, it's like Game of Thrones in so many ways. Like, yep. Those books are so incredible that it's so hard to produce something that's comparable. But I think they're definitely getting there.
That's awesome.
And then I'm not on it, but I will be enjoying my 4th or 5th watch of Ted Lasso and following Ben and Kristen on the Revisited podcast.
I'm behind on that too, because I've been wanting to do it.
I think they're recording episode 2 of season 1 tomorrow, and
I haven't seen it.
I haven't.
And I said I was going to do it with the podcast, and I just have to get around to
You should absolutely do that, because it is so good, and it is my favorite. It is the Breaking Bad of comedy.
Yeah.
It is the best story from beginning to end that I've ever seen, because it's the story they wanted to tell. And anyway, so yes, 100%. Ben and Chris did Revisited Podcast.
So many great things on Podcastica right now. All the past shows, all the new things that are coming out. You can check all of that out at podcastica.com. You can find all of us there, all the podcasts that we guest on or that we're on periodically, find our contact information. Be sure to check it out. We would appreciate it. All right. Well, that wraps up this week. Thank you all for joining. On your marks.
Get set.
Bake.